Well, good morning, all Baptists. How are you doing today? If you have a Bible, turn to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 11 this morning, as well as some other scriptures in God's Word. Well, it's good to be here this morning, and we look forward to worshiping with to the Lord together as we gather together today. And Friday was kind of a crazy day for me. I was out doing some hospital visitation, and I had my school colors on, you know, my Gator polo shirt, making a little visit at the hospital, you know, trying to be a servant of the Lord kind of a deal, you know. And as I was making my way to the elevator, there was a really nice, gentle, sweet, loving nurse coming my way, pushing a medical cart, and I was going to say hello. And as we passed each other in the hallway, she goes, "You know, buddy, you're wearing the wrong shirt." And normally I don't, you know, get into smack talk with nurses at the hospital. But I leaned back and I went, "Yeah, you know what? Maybe you're wearing the wrong shirt too, lady. You ever thought about that?" You know, we laughed. And then I realized, man, I'm glad I didn't have my olive ID badge on. And, you know, whew, the Lord was good that day, amen. But football season's here and we're excited about that. But we're more excited about what Jesus Christ has for us today in His Word. You know, three men were really good friends, and they decided to go hiking one day. Their names were Joe and Bob and Dave, and they were out hiking in the wilderness, and they were having a good time together, and then all of a sudden they came across this river, this wide, raging, violent, turbulent river, and they were trying to figure out, how are we going to get across to the other side? Well, the first guy prayed and he said, "God, would you give me the strength to be able to cross this river?" And as soon as he said amen, his arms got really strong, his legs got muscular, and he dived in the river. And he swam and he fought the current, and for about 2 hours he nearly drowned, but he made it to the other side of the river. He was there. The next guy stepped up. He watched his friend almost drown, so he prayed this prayer to God. "Lord, give me the strength and the tools to cross this river." As soon as he said amen, a rowboat showed up out of thin air. Grabbed the rowboat, threw it in the water, jumped in the water, and he rowed across the raging river and fighting and screaming and scratching for all he had, almost capsizing the rowboat, but he finally made it to the other side. The last guy was watching all this, and he decided to pray this prayer. "Lord, give me the strength, the tools, and the intelligence to cross this river." Immediately, he became a woman. Snap, studied it. Walked about 200 yards upstream and crossed over the bridge to the other side. Now, guys, before you look at me with those looks, I'm with you, but I'm married to a woman. Thank God for that, and I've got to go home with her today, so bear with me, okay? But, you know, that little story is about change. You know, there's always something better. There's always a way to make something better, to do something better, amen? And change is a word that brings all kinds of different emotions when I mention that word to you. We're going to make some changes. We need to change this. We need to change that. Some of you get fearful. Others of you wonder, what does that mean? Others of you despise change. Others avoid change. But you know, some people accept change and other people thrive on change. But no matter how you feel about that word, we, as we walk daily, if we know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, there should be a change in our lives. That's called life change. And as we enter into that personal relationship with Christ, there is change that comes to our life. It's supernatural. You know, the Holy Spirit, He creates in us a brand new heart, a brand new mind, a brand new spirit, a soul, and we're able to walk with Christ. That's called radical change. But when you accept Christ as Savior and you enter into that personal relationship with Him, the old you is still around. The old you is tugging on the new you to go back and do the things that you did before you became a believer in Christ. And we see this written in Scripture. It's a battle between the flesh and the spirit, the old self and the new self. In fact, in Galatians chapter 5, 17, Paul refers to this struggle in verse 17 of Galatians 5. For the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Right now, this morning, as you sit in church, if you're a believer, there's a battle going on in your life. There's the battle of the spirit versus the battle of the flesh. I kind of reckon it to dating somebody. You go to a party and you bump into your old date. Sometimes the new date and the old date don't get along very well. There's awkwardness. They might even clash. And so there's a struggle going on, and it's a dilemma that we have until the day that we die and we go on to heaven to be with Jesus. The spirit versus the flesh. If you want to even go back to the Old Testament, over in Deuteronomy chapter 13, 4, Moses writes about the new self and the old self. He doesn't refer it to that, but he gives the children of Israel marching orders before they enter into the promised land. He gives them this scripture, and I've got it on the board for you, and I would love it if we just read it together as a church. So as it's on the screen, let's read this verse together out loud, okay? Deuteronomy 13, 4. You shall follow the Lord your God and fear Him, and you shall keep His commandments, listen to His voice, serve Him, and cling to Him. Now, in Deuteronomy 13, 4, I believe that's just another picture of the way we are supposed to live our life in Jesus Christ. Now, if we were to combine the old self and the new self and do a comparison to these two characteristics in our life, the old self and the new self, it would look a little bit like this based on Deuteronomy 13, 4. First of all, the new self is committed to following God. As we see there in Deuteronomy 13, 4, you shall follow the Lord your God. The new self is committed to following the Lord. But what's the old self committed to? The old self follows its own agenda. I've got my own plans. I've got my own way. Thank you very much. Then it goes on and it says to fear Him. Number two, fears and worships God. The new self fears and worships God. There's a fear of God. There's a respect. There's an awe. And there's a worship of God. But what does the old self do? The old self fears others and worships self. We're afraid of what people think. We're afraid of what people do. So we kind of go along with the crowd, and we definitely worship ourselves. Well, the next thing that we see there in Deuteronomy 13, 4, you shall keep His commandments. Well, the new self desires to obey God. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. But what does the old self do? The old self is drawn to rebellion. There's that desire to kind of always kind of, you know, skirting the edge of rebellion and kind of doing it my way, and I know better, and I'm going to do what I want to do. The fourth thing that we see there in Deuteronomy 13, 4, listen to His voice. I would say the new spirit, the new self, is aware of God's presence. Have you ever been in a situation where you've walked or talked to somebody, you can just tell that the Holy Spirit is moving, and you want to share Christ with that person, or you want to minister to that person, and you want to reach out and help them. What What does the old self do? The old self, aloof, aloof to God's presence and God's activity. Another word for aloof is to be remote, detached, like out in the back 40 where nobody can see you. And when we're aloof to God's presence and activity, we are completely doing our own thing. That's the flesh. Well, we continue on in that scripture in Deuteronomy. It says two little words, serve him. And that's what the new spirit does. The within us desires to serve God. But the flesh is self-serving. What's in it for me? What can I do for me, me, me? Then finally, the last phrase there, three little words at the end of that verse, cling to him. Cling to him. I would say that would be intimate with God, be intimate with Jesus Christ. But the flesh says what? Man, I'm attracted by the world. I'm caught up in the world. I'm doing and chasing and following after the world. Well, if you fast forward to the New Testament, Jesus Christ referred to this lifestyle as the abundant life. Over in John 10:10, we've read this scripture for many times in our lives. It's very well-known verse of scripture. Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that you might have life and might have it abundantly. My question to you this morning is this. Are you experiencing this abundant life that Christ talks about? The life where Jesus Christ is at the center of your life and he is leading you and guiding you through his spirit. In other words, are you relating more to the new self? Or possibly you're here this morning. You've asked Christ to come into your life. You've made that decision maybe years ago, maybe months ago, maybe just weeks ago, days ago. But you're struggling. You'd say, you know, John, if you were to go back and reread those comparisons, spirit, flesh, I'd have to say, John, that I'm probably leaning more over to the old self, the flesh. And you're not experiencing that abundant life. You know, life is tough. We know it. Things happen. Adversity comes. And sometimes it's possible for believers to get off course. You don't mean to get off course. You didn't plan to get off course. But things happen. Things pop up. Life gets busy. And all of a sudden, before you know it, you're drifting off. You're off course. But changes will do a lot to distract us and to get us off track. And before you know it, our life is kind of filled up with frustration. We're a little bit aimless. We're not close to God like we used to be. And we feel isolated. And we feel lonely. And we feel helpless. It kind of reminds me of a movie that came out back in 2000, starred Tom Hanks, and the movie was called. And this movie portrayed a character by the name of Chuck Nolan. And Chuck was a great guy. Chuck, everybody loved Chuck. He was engaged to be married, lived in Memphis. He worked for the FedEx company. And Chuck had everything that a young man would want. He had love, he had a career. He was going places. He was moving up the company ladder. Then one Christmas Eve night, he got a phone call, and he had to catch a plane into the South Pacific to make sure that a very important piece of cargo got delivered by FedEx. So he kissed his fiance goodbye, and he jumped on this plane on Christmas Eve and flew off into the South Pacific. Well, long story short, they came across a huge, huge tropical storm, a hurricane. The plane crashed. There weren't any survivors but Chuck. And Chuck washed up on shore and landed on this desert island, a small little rock out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, way off course, hundreds of miles off course, and here he is on this island. Well, he learns how to survive. He little FedEx packages wash up on shore from the wreckage, and he starts kind of making a little life for himself there on the desert island. He tries to escape, but he can't, so he kind of stays right there on that island. Now, 4 years later, the story picks up. He has learned how to really survive on this island. He's catching fish. He's eating raw fish. He's learned how to survive on this island for 4 years. But you know what's happened to him? He's come complacent on that island. Because he's living, he's in pretty good health, he's still a young man. But he realizes that if he doesn't get off that island soon, he's probably not going to live. Because he won't live long alone, isolated on that island. Boy, this morning, I don't know about you, but about 4 o'clock this morning, Tropical Storm Lee woke me up out of bed. You know, the winds were howling, the rain was coming. I thought tornadoes were outside. I got up and checked on the cat, you know, the whole deal. And I was wondering, man, I wonder what it would have been like for this man to be on that island when a storm came all by himself in that little cave. Well, he started to build a raft, and he was going to launch the raft, and he had to escape this island if he was going to get out into the deep water and get into the shipping lanes to be rescued, because he never was going to be rescued on that island. So I want you to sit back and watch this little clip. It's about 4 minutes long. This is from the movie Castaway, and then we'll come back and we'll share about this little clip and weave it into our message this morning. Watch this clip from Castaway. And now, Castaway. I'm feeling Castaway right now, amen?
You don't have to worry about anything. I'll do all the paddling. You just hang on. I think we did it! Wilson!
the gate!
You know, maybe you're here this morning and you're on that island of complacency. You didn't intend to get there, but you're there. You love Jesus, you go to church, you read your Bible, but you're all alone. Oh, you've got friends, you've got family, you've got a dog and a cat, you like the Alabama Crimson team is, but you're lonely. And I just wonder this morning as we look at that example, that what would God be speaking to your heart even this morning? You know, those big waves that he fought leaving the island, we have those in our lives, you know. There's big waves out there that don't want us to be in the abundant life. They don't want us into the deep water. They want us to stay on that island of complacency. Folks, we got to wake up. Just because you go to Olive Baptist Church doesn't mean that you're all right with God. Be careful that you don't let this beautiful facility fool you into thinking that you're right where you need to be with Jesus. We fall into complacency. Well, in our scripture this morning in Colossians chapter 3, Paul writes to the church in Colossae, and he talks about getting focused and vision on Jesus. So if you're here this morning and you're feeling a little complacent, and you're feeling like you're on that island, and you need to get off that island, and you need to get where God is, or maybe you're just dry, and you're just struggling this morning, I want to plead with you and encourage you that God wants to help you break free from that complacency that we all struggle with. First of all, I want you to see the first thing that we've got to do if we want to break free from this complacency. There's three of them in your notes. Is number one, we've got to rise above a shallow mindset. Rise above a shallow mindset. In Colossians 3, 1 through 4, Paul says, "Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory." I love Paul. He draws a line in the sand. And he says, if you have been raised up with Christ, if you have trusted in Jesus and you're a Christian, then keep seeking the things above. Not focus on what's down here. What happens when you and I just completely focus on earthly things? What happens? Our mindset becomes shallow. We worry about stuff that we really can't figure out and do anything about. But we worry and we focus. And you know what happens? The devil wants us to be blind to what? The big picture. The big picture. What happens when adversity hits us sometimes? What do we say? That's not fear. That's the flesh. What we ought to be saying is, what's God intended for me in this situation? What's God's purpose for me in this? Why focus on the above things, John? Why should I do that? Well, you know what? One day, Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. And you do not want to be bogged down in the worries of the world when our Savior returns gloriously to take us back to heaven. You know, we had a little a little habit in school, you know, when the teacher goes off for a few minutes and leaves the class alone, you know, people kind of get kind of crazy, kind of get wild. But as Mr. T used to say, I pity the fool who was acting up when the teacher came back, right? Because you got in trouble. You got sent to the principal's office. What does it mean when he says our life is hidden in Christ? Well, as believers, we stepped into a new reality. A new role. The big picture is that there's something bigger and something bigger than me. And I must be revealed with Jesus in glory when the time is right. See, now we need to humble ourselves and get plugged into the Lord and serve the Lord. And when all the unfair things in life happen to us, one day when we rejoice with Jesus in heaven, the glory of God will make everything go away. So the first thing we've got to do, if we're going to get past those big breaker waves that come in life, we've got to learn how to develop not a shallow mindset, but a focused on Christ mindset. Number two, how do we break free from spiritual complacency? Well, it means, number two, to move away from self-centeredness. Move away from self-centeredness. Colossians chapter 3, 5 and 8 say this. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil, desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. I was trying to come up with an example of what self-centeredness looks like. And immediately I thought of rock music. Because in popular rock music, it's filled with songs that are written about self-centeredness, pretty much. And so I went back to the days of my youth in the early 70s. And Elton John came to mind, and he wrote a song called Saturday Night Is All Right for Fighting. Some of you are going right now, oh man, great song. Others of you are going, what is he talking about, okay? But let me read to you a little line from the song, okay? It's basically about a teenager that wants to go out on Saturday night and party and get drunk and fight people. How much more self-centered can you be, amen? Here's the chorus. Don't give us none of your aggravation. I thought about singing it, but I said, nah, I can't get up that high. With your discipline. Saturday night's all right for fighting. Get a little action in. Get about as oiled as a diesel train. That means drink. Gonna set this dance alight, because Saturday night's the night I like. Saturday night's all right, all right, all right. And then a little line from the song, which I thought was interesting. I'm a juvenile product of the working class whose best friend floats in the bottom of a glass. It's pretty self-centered. It's easy to pick on a song that was written, you know, 30 years ago and say, yeah, those teenagers in the 70s, they were self-centered. Well, some of you out there are now my age and you're 55 and so, and you're struggling with self-centeredness today, because I know I do too. Self-centeredness can be very subtle if we're not careful. It's all about letting me be the main thing. And if you and I are going to break away from being complacent with Christ and head into the abundant life, we have got to get away from self-centeredness. You know, Paul says, consider yourselves, what? Dead to the sinful and passionate things of this world. One of the things that reminds me of the word consider is to think of something, regard something, believe that something is true. Like my my mom and dad, they look at my wife Beth, we've been married 20 years, they think of her as their daughter, as their blood daughter. And my mother-in-law thinks of me as her blood son as well. They consider us as their own children. Well, if you look at this little laundry list that Paul gives us, self-centeredness is immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, anger, wrath, malice, slander, abuse of speech. We have got to move away from being self-centered and step into, Lord, it's not about me, it's about you. Lord, let me be Christ-centered. And the way you do that is daily you've got to get up and you've got to say, Lord, I want to die to all the things in my life that the flesh wants me to be a part of. And Lord, let me step into what you want me to have. Let me let the Holy Spirit have his way in my life. And Lord, I'm dead to that. And it's a constant battle. Amen? We got to constantly die to self. And we say, Lord, it's not about me, it's about you. Lord, it's not about me being God, it's about you being God in my life. Well, we've talked about breaking away from being complacent. And you know, by the way, complacency is simply being very self-satisfied and very happy in your situation, but not realizing that there's pending danger coming. That's what it means to be complacent. Finally, the last thing that we must do to break away from spiritual complacency is number three, avoid becoming stagnant. Avoid becoming stagnant. The end of our scripture, verses 9 through 11 in Colossians 3 says this, do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and freeman, but Christ is all and in all. I love that word, renewal. That is a beautiful word. That's what we need if we're complacent. We need to be renewed. We need life. We need power. We need the glory of God living in us. Renewal simply means to replace something worn out. Do you feel worn out today? It's been a long summer, buddy, at the Dubois House. Whew. High school graduation, college graduation, wedding, kid going off to college. And now it's just me and my wife at home, empty nest. I'm having a great time. My wife is about 3 miles behind me, so pray for us, okay? We're getting there, all right? But man, it's been a long summer of just changing and this and that, an emotional up roller coaster and down and this and that. And if you're not careful, you get worn out. You get busy and things are not good. Well, Jesus says in his word through Paul that we are renewed by the new spirit that lives within us. Now, the opposite of renewal is stagnant, being idle, decline, decay, worn out, exhausted. That's not where we want to be. We want to be renewed because it's living in us, and we've got to allow ourselves to be living for Christ and being renewed. Well, Paul talks about our new self is constantly being renewed in verses 10 and 11 here. First of all, when we die to ourselves, 10 there, and have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. When you and I die to ourselves, when we say, Lord, I can't do this anymore, I die to what I want to do, I die to that flesh, and Lord, I want to step into the new spirit, I want to step into the new life that I have as a believer in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then verse 11, when we ignore social barriers and prejudices, we also are renewed. Look at verse 11, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, freeman, but Christ is in all and all in all. We've got to quit looking at people and judging people and worrying about what kind of social status they are. We just got to love people and let God use us to be renewed. This morning we've talked about these three barriers that keep us from really experiencing the abundant life. Those big waves crash on us. And we've talked about dealing with a shallow mindset. And we've talked about stepping away from being self-centered. And we've talked about avoiding being stagnant. But if you remember the little movie clip that we showed you earlier, the character of Chuck Nolan tried to get off the island 4 years earlier when he first landed there. But he did it in his own power. He did it in his own little life raft in the plane. And those waves just crashed on him and threw him under the water, cut his leg on the coral reef, and he whimpered back to that island, and he just stayed there, and he became complacent. It's when he decided to step up and leave that island, but he had a little help. You notice that big plastic thing that came up on that big wave? The wind and that raft took him over that last wave. You and I cannot do the three things that we just talked about this morning by ourselves. We can't step away from being self-centered. We can't develop a focused mindset on Christ, and we definitely can't avoid being stagnant in our own power. We've got to trust Jesus Christ to allow the Holy Spirit. Just the way that wind took that raft over that last wave, we've got to trust the Holy Spirit to do that in us. This morning, I want to give you an invitation to come. Maybe you're here this morning and you've heard this message, and God's leading you to get out of that complacency and head into that abundant living that Christ talks about. I want to encourage you to come and pray. Use this altar if you want to do that, or you can stay at your pew and pray where you are. Or maybe you're here this morning and you've never known Jesus Christ, and you're not complacent. You're in captivity. You don't know Jesus Christ. You are a prisoner to this world. You don't know Jesus. If you were to die today, you'd spend eternity separated from Jesus Christ. I offer an invitation for you to come and to learn more about who Jesus Christ is and how you can pray and invite him into your life, and he can come into your life and give you that abundant life that we talked about this morning.